Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is our 27th anniversary. At some point, Jessica gave me our new logo. I just haven't put it up, and I got to change the orange skies to purple skies over the football stadium after our takedown of the Orioles here this week. But I'm going to be taking down, probably some good food this month, but also some Ocean City, Maryland this weekend. We're going to be down on the convention center floor at Mako later on in the week, and then we're just getting going with the crab cake tours. We're going to be everywhere beginning next week. We're going to be at Cooper's, going to be at Coco's, going to be at Fadley's, going to be at Pizza John's, going to be at Costas up in Timonium as well, and we're going to have Maryland Lottery scratch offs, while they last, lucky sevens, doublers for our 27th anniversary, as well as the pressure lux. I'll have the whammy out. We put the whammy on the Orioles here. We're going to get to the Ravens. Luke Jones is joining us now. It is another long week of not so hot kind of weather. It's been kind of like holding up okay. They're going to go down to Dallas this week, and it's August, and they're out of running backs. Explain all this to me, Luke.
No, they're not out of running backs. They're just out of running backs that they want to use in preseason games.
Ah.
You don't want to play Derrick Henry. You don't want to play Justice Hill. Keaton Mitchell, I think after the way he looked on Thursday night, you probably didn't want to play him anyway, but dealing with a little bit of a minor injury right now, which I don't think is a major concern. I mean, he was out on the practice field observing the other day. So whatever this is, it's a couple days. I don't think it's like anything serious, but it's led them to a position where you say, okay, Rasheen Ali, fine, but we also have had Marcus Major in camp, a rookie who had a concussion, and he's back practicing now. So they brought in D'Ernest Johnson last week, which, if you remember, he actually was a decent running back for the Browns for 5 minutes, and they added Myles Gaskin over the weekend. So we're going to see a lot of those two guys, I think, against Dallas on Saturday night. So you have that. The other position, we talked about this obviously with Bilal Koné, who injured his knee, ugly injury in the preseason game. Well, come to find out, their other sixth-round cornerback, Robert Longerbeam, they put on injured reserve on Sunday. John Harbaugh was very. This was weird. And look, I know we've poked a lot of fun and at times had frustration, and as far as John Harbaugh not exactly being forthcoming with injuries, but this one was weird because it's a sixth round corner. He's out for the year, and John just said that's a really long story that I couldn't even get into if I wanted to. It almost makes you wonder if it's like I don't want to lie because we're stashing this guy because we didn't really think he was going to play much this year anyway, and he's a sixth round pick and kind of a developmental guy. But the answer, if that were the answer, and I don't know that's purely me, just my conjecture. But when you're that vague about it, then people ask questions about it. So, but long story short, they're two six-round
John
corners.
lies so much that I just almost stop paying attention because it doesn't, it's like a Trump press conference. It doesn't have any value to me. You know what I mean?
But this was a little bit different in the sense that, this isn't, he's out for the year. He was a six-round pick that wasn't really going to do much this year other than maybe be on special teams, right? I mean, that's kind of what the realistic best case scenario is for a six round corner. But so it's just strange on that front, but it really speaks to, I remember when the Ravens signed Jaire Alexander, not so much you and I, because we know how this works in the sense that all it takes is a couple injuries. But when they signed Jaire Alexander, there was this thought of, do they have too many corners? How are they going to fit all these guys on the roster? What does this mean for Jalen Armour Davis? What's this mean for TJ Tampa? Well, Jalen Armour Davis, if he can stay healthy, which has obviously been the story of his career, to me, he's gone from being on the bubble and maybe the wrong side of the bubble to he's a lock now to be on the roster if he's healthy. And now I wonder if, a guy that I've mentioned to you as far as an undrafted rookie that I like, not that I'm ready to put on the roster yet, but Reuben Lowry had an interception in practice again on Sunday. He's played some corner, he's played some nickel. He's played a lot of safety this summer after he played a lot of corner back in the spring. When you talk about these two six round draft picks now being on IR and out for the year, does that open the door for a Reuben Lowry who has some versatility, albeit developmentally? Does that create a path for him to sneak on the roster as the 53rd guy? I don't know. We'll see. But it is unfortunate just from the standpoint of those six round guys, You also miss out on a year of practice for those guys. I mean, you'd like to have them go through the practice year. Even if you end up waiving them and putting them on the practice squad, you like them having a full year on the field, and now these guys are going to miss out on that because they have knee injuries.
And
But
that's where TJ Tampa was and some of these other guys
sure,
too,
yeah.
right?
I mean, that's why TJ Tampa, well, I said this to you after we talked about it, but now that I saw the exact snap count, he played all 80 defensive snaps. And I think he also played, I think it was 15 or 16 special team snaps. They gave him a vet day on Saturday. Like, he's not a vet. They gave him a day because he played an entire football game on Thursday night. But it's one reason I asked John Harbaugh about him after the game. He needed that because he was injured last year, missed just about all of training camp, or I think all but like maybe the last week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. Had another injury during the season, was a healthy scratch quite often, didn't really get a chance, even in some of their blowout wins, to really play that much defensively.
I mean, these
So,
reps have to be for somebody in
yeah,
these games, right?
look,
Literally, somebody's got to play.
look, I'm the
It's
first
almost like the
guy.
Orioles
I am the first
bullpen.
guy to admit, I mean, I call it fake football. I'm the first guy to say I have no interest in seeing the starters play. There is still value to preseason for guys like that, right? Young guys that are either trying to make the team, young guys that are trying to develop at the next level. I mean,
And
even
Keaton Mitchell trying to show he can go do
sure,
it.
Keaton Mitchell showing, hey, I'm back to being the guy I was
Or
2 years
Cooper Rush
ago.
showing that maybe this is
Yeah.
needs to get better.
Man, the quarterback. I mean, Cooper Rush was one thing. Leary, I mean, John Harbaugh was still talking about that a couple days later
Well, I
that.
mean, you mentioned already they've already cut the other kicker, right? Because it is like now, but you know, I mean, he
Well,
didn't
they
make it
need,
to a preseason game. They weren't
they
going to
kind
give
of,
him kicks in the preseason games. Why have him?
there was that, and there was also they needed the roster spots because they had enough back end guys that were banged up that, look, you can rest the guys you want to rest, but to your point, you still have to play the game. You still need enough young guys to go out there and play, and you don't want to be in a position where guys are needing to play the entire football game, right? I mean, they've had some years. I think they had this happened last year. They were so banged up on their defensive line. They had CJ Ravenel, who was on their practice squad and made a couple nice plays on Thursday night. You know, I probably, you know, he's on, I'd say he's on the bubble, but I think on the wrong side of the bubble at this point. He's at least on the radar, I'd say. But last year, they had him playing like edge rusher because they were so banged up and they didn't want to play their starters. So you need to have healthy bodies at the back end of that roster to get through these next couple games. So that's why they signed D'Ernest Johnson and Myles Gaskin at running back. That's why they've signed, you know, they just brought in a defensive back over the weekend, you know, back end roster guy. But those are the guys that need to play. And for those guys, it's a great opportunity. They're going to get a chance to put some, for in their mind, hopefully some good play on tape that you can catch on somewhere if you don't catch on with the Ravens practice squad. So that's kind of where we are. But here's the good news for you. I as you and I are, you know, coming out of the weekend and the Ravens practiced over the weekend, relatively uneventful. You know, like we said, a couple guys banged up right now, the rookie 6 round corners, but overall not any major headline per se. But Sunday, talking August 10th, marked 4 weeks until we are now under 4 weeks until the Buffalo game. So we're finally inching ever closer to, you know, that's starting to be, you know, it's this whole hurry up and wait mindset that you have once training camp starts. You know, we're past the midway point of what you would consider training camp, and we're starting to get closer. You know, John Harbaugh, he was asked over the weekend, he didn't completely dismiss the idea of playing a couple more veterans in the preseason. I don't see it. I just don't. We're seeing too many guys. I mean, look at the Chargers. They lost their left tackle to a patellar tendon tear. The Eagles may have lost their Pro Bowl guard on Sunday. And that was a stadium practice. I mean, guys get hurt in practices. You really want to throw them out there in the preseason and risk some of your best players for what? I mean, I hear it. I hear it. I'll hear that. And I agree. The Ravens need to start faster. But my question is, what exactly is this imagine threshold as far as the number of plays that you would play in the preseason that is going to avoid that problem, right? I mean, is it 2 series? Is it 3 series? Did they need to play an entire half? I mean, like it's so subjective. Like that to me, like that kind of argument falls into the self-fulfilling prophecy as much as anything, because There's only one outcome I can control with these preseason games. It is, I can guarantee that Lamar Jackson does not get hurt in a preseason game by doing what? Not playing Lamar Jackson in a preseason game. I cannot guarantee that Lamar or any player, and I just use Lamar as an example because he's the most important player. I cannot. There's nothing I can do that truly ensures that I'm going to get the value out of playing in the preseason. I mean, it's purely subjective, right? Some and every team feels differently. Andy Reid plays his starters. Maybe that's enough argument in someone's mind that the Ravens should play their starters. I don't know, but hey, the Ravens played their starters 3 years ago, and J.K. Dobbins tore up his knee on the opening drive down at Landover, right? So, you know, I have no problem with how the Ravens do this. I mean, I really don't on that front.
They sell
Yes.
tickets that, you know, they probably shouldn't, but
No,
I
I
yeah.
that's a league that's a league. I've said this. The NFL, I think they could absolutely fix their preseason game problem. You need to rebrand the preseason as preseason showcases. You can still sell tickets, you know, tie in some charity connections too. You know, it'll make them, you know, the perception of it looks better. But this is what you do. They love these joint practices now. They have these joint practices with a team they then play in a preseason game 2 or 3 days later. At the stadium, you have a preseason showcase. All of your starters, they do a controlled scrimmage. That way, and they wear their game jerseys. That way, you still get to see, like, if you're someone who hasn't gone out to Owings Mills, you pay for a ticket.
And maybe the Rams sign autographs when they're in
Yeah, you can
town,
do
or
that
right?
too, but at the very least, you get to see Lamar Jackson and the starters suit up for a scrimmage. Lamar wears a red jersey so he doesn't get sacked, doesn't get hit. You decrease the risk of an injury there. And then what you do after you've done that, you then play a 30-minute game, you play a half, and coaches can play whoever the heck they want in that 30-minute game. To me, that would be the best of both worlds, and it would absolutely sweeten up the value. It would be a little, it sounds weird. I get it. It's not like a
But if
conventional
you book
preseason
all-time
game.
low to play and you turn it into a festival
You
and you
turn it
make it
into an
10
event.
bucks to get in and everybody can bring their family down, maybe you get 35,000 people there. Maybe it looks like something that
I mean,
doesn't look like what it looked like the other night, because
I don't even
it's
think you
looked
need
like
to.
that for 20 years and it's looked like that for 50 years in the NFL. I mean, we had our moment here where like the preseason games were actually fun for a little while here in the Billick era when they could
I
get the
mean,
turf right in Philly.
I don't even think you need to look. I'm all in favor of making preseason or making any game as affordable and as cheap as possible for fans, understanding that people have disposable income, only so much disposable income. I'm not even talking about lowering the price. I'm saying keep, even if you want to keep the tickets as they are, you rebrand it as a scrimmage that, hey, healthy starters are going to play in a scrimmage in the same way that they do in a joint practice. But because that's how teams like the Ravens are getting their veteran players ready for the season. These joint practices have essentially become preseason
Are they
games for them.
doing one of those in Dallas this week?
No,
I didn't think they were,
but
right? Yeah.
they're doing one down
With
in
the
what, Ash
Redskins, or
Ashburn.
excuse
Yeah.
me, the Commanders, yes.
So, but you just take that to the stadium for what used to be the preseason game, and then you still play a half of a game, and that's where you can play anyone you want, and including, hey, if Andy Reid wants to play Patrick Mahomes and his starters in that, they can play a series in that. So that's what I would do. Like, if you were asking me what's the fix other than just getting rid of preseason games entirely, like if you're saying we still want to have a model where there's three preseason tickets that we're selling, that's what you do. You do it that way because at the very least, you could sell to your fans, hey, you're going to get to see Lamar Jackson actually do something rather than Lamar. And really, all it is now is he goes through pregame warmups and doesn't even go through all of pregame warmups. He, you know, throws some passes, does a little bit of that. But then once they break into their 11-on-11 warmup, it's Cooper Rush and the guys that are actually going to play in the game. So that's what I would do with that. But hey, we're getting closer at least. We're under 4 weeks. You know, the Ravens, we've already seen, you know, the injuries, you know, with likely, obviously, Ardarius Washington in the spring. They already have been bitten by the injury bug probably more than they were last year, you know, if we're kind of being honest
They had more
about it.
car wrecks last year than they had injury bugs, right?
Yeah. I mean, once they got to the season, I mean, they didn't You know what? Michael Pierce went on IR for what, 6 weeks, I think it was. I mean, that was the most notable, other than the timing of Zay Flowers at the very end of the year. I mean, he had a 3 week knee injury, and it was the worst 3 weeks
Dude,
to
they didn't
have
even
it.
have a lot of guys last year that played poorly. Marcus Williams, I mean, Brandon Stevens, maybe, you know, for sure. The off-ball
And then,
linebacker
yeah.
position was a problem for them. But by and large, you know, the starting 22 positions, you know, they had 15, you know, plus performers and five guys and a couple of other guys that they
Sure.
wanted to improve the position, maybe Falele, although it feels like they might be in love with him. But you know,
Maybe
their
not off a
deep depth,
Thursday night.
yeah, d deep depth, and their you know, the what the roster has been for them has allowed for them to, these preseason games don't mean much. The preseason doesn't mean much. They know in May who all their starters are going to be, minus an edge rusher or a veteran. Speaking of that, Jair Alexander, seeing, you know, a lot of talk, a lot of mouth, a lot of this, a lot of that, a lot of leadership. He's bringing guys over. He wants to step in and be the alpha dog and be all of that. What are you getting from that? Because we spent an hour talking about the Orioles having no leadership right
Yeah.
now. I mean, first off, what I think about Marlon Humphreys is well worn, but the Roquan Smith thing and the Kyle Hamilton thing and the grown-up thing and the Malachi Starks thing and, you know, Lamar being Lamar and them importing this Hall of Fame wide receiver to be a part of this and just the tight end with a lot to prove. There's just a lot of personality, I think, going on with the team in a general sense that was already here. A lot of guys have lost a lot of playoff games here. You know what I mean? And I mean, like, even Bateman is a guy, we don't talk about him much. He's a first round pick that is sort of better this, that, but we talk about Zay more than we talk about him. And certainly they've had enough high profile Johnny Bravo wide receivers here the last couple of years going to the Hall of somewhere, that we've it hasn't been oxygen for him. But there's a lot of personality on this team. It's not Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and
No,
that,
it's not like that.
but certainly to try to come in and, as Paul Stanley once said to me about Vinnie Vincent, you don't step into the cockpit of the 747 and tell the pilot you know how to fly the plane. I don't know, but he has taken up some oxygen, correct?
You know what? And look, I'm always very, I think people know this by now, and it probably just comes across even as not caring about it. And that's not the case, but it's having the proper perspective about it. He's still in the honeymoon phase, Jair Alexander, right? I mean, they haven't played a game yet. You know, as far as what their plans are, as far as how much he's going to play compared to Awuzie, compared to Marlon, compared to Nate Wiggins, right? But it's been positive. It really has been. Like, you can tell when you've been at enough of those podium sessions, you can kind of tell what's real and what's kind of coach speak, player speak, PR speak, and all of that. He's the guy that when you're seeing players, even wide receivers, you know, even when Lamar, and obviously Lamar has a relationship with him, they played together at Louisville. That's one of the reasons why Jair Alexander came here for $4 million, other than his injury history. But he's one of those guys that when you ask one of the other players about him, their face kind of lights up a little bit. They smile. It's been very positive. He's definitely, he is an interesting personality, and I mean that in a positive way.
He would have been a good barn guest.
He's interesting. I mean, it was the other day, I forget who was at the podium. It might have been Matt Abike, and he came up and he kind of blended in with the reporters, and he fired a question to Matt Abike. He's like, "Why did you ask for Jair Alexander's autograph the other day?" And, you know, it's just a funny little moment. You know, it's 20 seconds. But, you know, another thing I'll throw out. He just had a back to school event in Baltimore. Like, he's already started up his and, you know, these guys have foundations that, you know, they can start up relatively quickly for as long as they're in any given city that they're playing, in which they're playing. But he just had a back to school event. I mean, he's been here on the field. He's literally been a Raven for less than 2 months. He was signed in mid-June, and he just had a, you know, he just had a nice charity event. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, regardless of how involved, how hands-on someone is with their charity, or do they have someone that handles all of it for them?
He's also a
Like,
guy that's a
that's
made
impressive.
guy, right? I mean, he's made
Yeah. Oh,
$50 million,
he's made a
right?
lot of money, right? I mean, he wants to make more, and that's
Right.
one reason why this is a one-year prove it deal for him, whether it's going to be in Baltimore or signing a big deal elsewhere if he can stay healthy. But it's been a positive. I think one thing I would say for their defense, and their defense recovered to play at a very high level over the last 7 weeks last year. Their defense was arguably the best in football 2 years ago, right? I mean, led the league in scoring defense, takeaways, sacks,
By the
right? I
way, I'm
mean,
way off. He's made 72 million.
yeah, he's made a
Sorry.
lot. Oh, but
Yeah.
you said, what'd you say, 60?
I
Or
said
did you say,
50.
oh,
I was
yeah.
way off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Point is, he's made a lot of good money in the NFL.
And he wants to do
So,
something good with it, and that's awesome.
yeah, exactly.
We think
So,
of him as a new guy around here. I just want to
he's
put it into
like,
perspective that the guy's made $72 million already.
no
That's all.
question.
That he's not a rookie here.
He was the,
Yeah.
let's break this down in very simple terms. He was the Packers' Marlon Humphrey. I mean, that's, in terms of like that kind of $100 million contract kind of guy. So I think he's done a nice job as far as being one of the guys. He certainly feels a certain way and has a personality and is competitive and is in the weight room early with the other guys that come in at 6 a.m. and lift and
Been in
all
the
of
league
that.
7 years. He's a
Yeah.
pro, right? Like
Yeah.
literally. Yeah.
And he's someone who, let's face it, has been very injured over the last 5 years. Even though he's played at a high level when he's been healthy, that's something that I'm sure he has some motivation for. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl, right? He's in the same spot as many of these Ravens players. Think about it. Now, I'm not talking about the Packers the last couple of years, sans Aaron Rodgers, but think back to like the earlier in his career. He was with Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers was playing at an MVP level. And what did the Packers do? They came up short getting through the NFC bracket and getting to a Super Bowl. So he's kind of been, he has some experiences that are not exactly the same as the Ravens players that kind of are in that group, but are similar, right? He's had some playoff shortcomings. So I think it's interesting. Again, it's still the honeymoon phase. You never know. I mean, Marcus Peters was someone who was absolutely loved and was a very positive, had a very positive influence on the Ravens when he arrived in season in 2019. We also know how Marcus Peters, how it ended for what, 3 years later, right? So guys like this, can there be a shelf life for it? Can there be a time where at some point, the relationship isn't as jovial and as fruitful as it is right now? Sure. But in the meantime, it's gone well, and he seems to be really happy to be here. And everyone, players and coaches, seem to be really happy to have him, especially on a $4 million price tag.
And he's
So,
28 years old
yeah,
and
but
came here with Lamar to win, right?
he has a little bit of a swagger that I would say the other leaders on their defense, and this is not me saying they don't have leaders on their defense. Let me be clear. But when you think about Madubuike, Roquan. Is he more of a rah-rah guy than the other guys that I'm going to mention here? Sure, but he's not rah-rah to the Ray Lewis degree, right? And in fact, like, this past season, you saw some of their defensive players, like they would rotate who gave the breaking down the pregame huddle speech. For years, I mean, that was Ray Lewis. Like, there was never even a question if unless Ray wasn't healthy, and even times when Ray was hurt, he would still do it. There was no question about that. Whereas last year, they kind of rotated that. So, Hamilton, very much, absolutely a leader, but much more of the lead by example guy. He's not as vocal. So you kind of look at those guys, Jaire Alexander, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's going to be doing the Ray Lewis, what time is it, any dogs at the house routine, but he's got some swagger. Like he's got some of that, almost. He didn't go to Miami, but almost that you swagger to him a little bit. That, yeah, it does remind you a little bit of Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and McGahee or Dwayne Starks, guys that played at Miami in their glory days. So, I think it's been an interesting fit, like, and I mean that in a good way. But again, how does this play out?
How
Is
many
he going to be?
snaps they want to get out of him, what role they're going to
And
use
that's
him
where I
in, and
think it's
whether he could be
interesting. Yeah.
effective. Right.
I
Yeah.
mean, I look, he's had a good camp. they've given him a couple days, but he's practiced most days, right? It's
But
not
I
like
think
he's.
they're going to treat him like Ginger, not like Marianne, right? I mean,
And
they're
I.
going to he's going to be a guy they think they're getting 25 to 40 snaps a game out of. He's not going to be a 70 snap defensive
I
player for
mean,
them.
I don't know if it'll be 25, but I think they want to be judicious. For one thing, let me be clear. Go look at Chidobe Awuzie, and he's in the same boat as Alexander in terms of some injuries, but when he was at his best playing for Cincinnati, he was a fringe Pro Bowl corner. He was really good. So I think they like him too, and I think they would not say it this plainly, Nestor, but I think it's this simple. If you're Eric DaCosta and you're John Harbaugh and you're the rest of the brain trust kind of talking about this roster, and this goes back to when they signed Awuzie back earlier in the offseason and when they signed Alexander when he shook free from Green Bay and there was the Lamar connection and he wanted to come here because he knew it was a chance he had to win here and all that. I think the mentality is, look, ideally, Awuzie and Alexander would both play, stay healthy, just like you want all your guys to stay healthy, right? But we also know we have to be realistic here. I think in their mind, if they can have one or the other healthy at all times throughout the year, right? So, and you know that I don't mean so literally that one guy plays nine games and the other guy plays eight games, but you understand the gist of what I'm saying here. If you have one or the other, at least one or the other on the field at all times, then you'll take that. Considering
And if you get 14 games out of one and 12 out of the other, you probably did okay.
then you're looking, especially, and the big key, and this goes to what you were just saying, you want them available in January. So
Well, you also
make
paid him $4 million, so
that's
not
the thing.
expecting him to play like a $15 million corner,
You play,
but he might.
he might, oh,
He might.
he might play like a $20 million corner. I
Right.
mean, that's the kind of ability he has. So, but that's
Just
the
like
thing.
Tyler O'Neill might hit 40.
Yeah, 40 game,
I'm just
40 games,
saying.
maybe.
I'm
Yeah.
just saying.
No,
Yeah.
I hear you. Well, see, the difference here is the Ravens didn't sign Alexander to a 3-year, $49.5 million
Somewhere
contract.
Brandon Hyde is saying your potential got me fired, but I'm a better man
Yeah.
for it. So,
Oh,
yeah.
hey, as you said, Brandon Hyde, I told you Brandon Hyde would have the best summer out of anyone, and that's absolutely the
I think
truth.
Alan McCallum also said that. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, but that's again, you go back to the financial commitment. I mean, Awuzie was like a vet minimum guy. And Alexander, $4 million. Now, incentives are built in. Yes. If he plays more, yes, he should make money because chances are he's going to play at a way higher level than a $4 million corner. So I think you view those two guys almost like one player. And if you can get that platoon, and look, I actually think they will platoon a little bit in terms of you might see one guy play two series and then the next guy plays the next series. And you give Alexander a break and he only plays 50 snaps as opposed to 75, right? I mean, that might be how it works. But I think if they can get enough production out of those two together to be one corner that you can rely on opposite Nate Wiggins on the outside and Marlon Humphrey being able to play almost exclusively at the nickel now, I think that puts you in position to have a really, really good secondary if, and we'll save this for another day, but if you have enough depth at safety, which I think that's still a question. Hamilton and Starks, they feel great about, obviously. They really like Malachi Starks. I don't think they're, to this point, I don't think there are any concerns about him other than just, hey, he's a rookie. He'll make a mistake here or there, but we really like him and he's mature and he's a great athlete and he's smart and he's ready to play. I think they absolutely feel that way. Do they have a third safety? Is Sanusi Kane going to be that guy? Or do we still see them? They just worked out a safety recently, over the weekend, a veteran safety. So, we're going to see how that plays out. But long answer to your question, they are really happy with what they've gotten from Jaire Alexander on the field, off the field, and yeah, some of that personality and a little bit of not the leader, but one of many leaders and his own brand of sprinkled into the mix.
They got Chuck Pagano on the back end, so he's no
That
stranger
helps
to the
too.
U. And I would say if Chuck would hear you, he'd say, 65 snaps. You think we're going to give up that many first downs? He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking football, really awful baseball. Stick around. You'll love it.